Hello, everybody. Cal Banyan here. Cal Banyan's Hypnosis, Etc. Well, what do we do here? We talk about hypnosis, etc. Mostly about hypnosis and applications of hypnosis. This is the best free training you could ever get on the internet, probably anywhere. We're now over 350 of these free hypnosis podcasts. And by gosh, you know, people ask me sometimes, Cal, what motivates you to do these things? And all the training materials that I put out, books, CDs, DVDs, or even live courses, I have one goal in mind, and that is to provide you with something that I wish I had earlier on in my career. So, gosh, I'm just so proud to be a part of this, and even more excited still to not be on this journey alone. Over the years, we've had Celeste Hackett, we've had L. Ron Ferguson, and new we have Brenda, and now we have Meredith Locker, who's comes out all the way from Los Angeles every single time we work together, and I'm so excited about that. Let me tell you about Meredith. Meredith is a true one percenter, among the best of the best in the profession. She's a five-pather, she's a seven-path teacher, she works, she's a master at age regression hypnosis. She's starts with a great background with a master's degree in psychology, previously was a talk therapist working with women's issues, working with eating disorders, and just general helping people get better. But now she's on totally into the hypnosis, doesn't do the old talk therapy thing anymore, and I'm glad to be a part of that transition in her life. How you doing, Meredith?
I'm so good, Cal. Excited to get into more age regression today.
Yay!
So let me tell everybody who Cal is. Cal is the reason that I am one of the one percenters. He is the one who trained me. He is the one who created Five Path after years as a talk therapist. He created a system where he brought together some of the best of psychology and the best of hypnosis. And it's Five Path. It's what I use with every single client. He brought us Seventh Path Self-Hypnosis. He's the author of many, many books. And he is the one who trains the best in the profession. He is Cal Banyan.
Thank you very much. Quick little announcement. See, aren't I a lucky guy to have all this good support? All right. Quickly, upcoming training, NGH, National Guild of Hypnotists approved, Banyan Hypnosis Certification Super Course. We got a couple classes I'll tell you about. January is coming up. January 27th to February 7th, 2014, to be there at our center or live online. You can do it that way too. At the time of the recording of this podcast, you could still get early registration discounts. And then we got July 14th. We've got another class coming up. Early discounts to apply. And that's July 14th to the 25th. And again, that's 2014. And guess what? Solid Gold Weekend. It'll be here before you know it. National Guild of Hypnotists Solid Gold Weekend, where they have some of the best, most popular, most informative, most respected speakers on the topics of hypnosis, hypnotism, and hypnotherapy. And it'll be February 15th through the 16th, Las Vegas, Riviera Hotel. For more information, go to ngh.net. Good. What you got for me today, Meredith?
All right. So our good friend Elaine sent us a question about the time tunneling technique and a particular challenge she had with one client recently. So it's quite detailed and gets into some different nuances. I'm just going to go ahead and go through the whole thing and then we'll kind of tackle it bit by bit. So she says, I was doing age regression yesterday using the time tunneling technique. Since using it, it has eliminated the moving backwards and forward through the ages. But yesterday, it was as if I wasn't using it at all. My client went straight back to four, then SSE, subsequent sensitizing event, to six, four, then 10. So I pinpointed her back to four and then tried to tunnel back from there, but she went to eight. I then used the feeling in her stomach and used the somatic bridge to go back using the words younger and younger, and we managed to get back to two, but it was difficult for her to verbalize where she was. I told her, even though she was little, she could speak. She said she was sad and lonely, but did not know where she was or any other details. This was familiar, as were all the others. Then we moved around from age to age. I again took her back to 2 and tried to tunnel back from there, but no matter what I tried, I could not get her back before 2. We were both exhausted, and I decided to end this session. She goes on just to give a little more background about the client. I have had clients before where I could feel their resistance, but this client is different. She really wants to do this work. However, there has to have been resistance, or was she not deep enough? No doubt she was in somnambulism when we started, but there were times she talked about the future, which she should not have known about, so I really focused her on calling her by her age and helping her to be there. There was definitely conscious mind interference from time to time. Sometimes she was definitely at that age and other times not. I have worked with her on other issues in the past successfully about 6 months ago, so she knows me well and we have good rapport. So what do I do now?
Okay, Meredith, if you had time to kind of think about this, maybe start on this one.
Yeah, sure. Although since I just went through it and you're freshly listening to it, I would love for you to kind of just get it going, and then I'll jump in sooner than previously.
Okay. So as you were doing that, there's a lot of things going on here. And so one is how come she was bouncing around? 2, how can I avoid this bouncing around? And was she deep enough? And what is resistance and conscious mind interference? I mean, gosh, we could write a book about this one question, right?
Yep.
All right. So let's just get started. One of the things is that one of the cool things about the time tunneling technique and is that it tends to, just like she said, it tends to reduce all this bouncing around. And it also tends to reduce the number of SSEs that you need to go through before you get to the ISE. Now, you know, as we start talking about this, if you're not familiar with age regression, I really want to suggest that you know, right here on calbanion.com. If you're watching this anywhere except calbanion.com, here's another example why you need to watch these videos on calbanion.com. Over there on that column, right there, down a bit, there is a number of links to the most popular topics, and one of them is the 10 keys to doing successful age regression. Watch those 4 videos, and it'll give you a good background on age regression. And I've got graphics and everything there for you so you can get it, because I can't teach you about age regression and still have time to answer this question. So, the time tunneling technique really, and there's also, Meredith, maybe you can do a little bit of research and see if you can find the what podcast we talk about the time tunneling technique while I'm taking on this question. And that is basically affect bridge, which she calls somatic regression, and the time tunneling technique both work with the idea that the emotions, which are felt in the body now, that are associated with the cause of the problem, can be used as a connection to the cause of the problem. In affect bridge, we just simply say, focus on that feeling, count from 5 back to 1, go back to an earlier time or situation you felt this way. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, be there. The problem with that is you tend to get more bouncing around. You tend to have to visit more SSEs, subsequent sensitizing events, to get to the ISC, initial sensitizing event, where it all started, than you do with the time tunneling technique. With the time tunneling technique, we have the individual identify where in their body they're feeling the feeling, and then they have them mentally go into that feeling as if it was a tunnel, following it back to the first time they felt that way or an earlier time when they felt that way. So with the time tunneling technique, we tend to hit only two or three SSEs, and bam, we're at the ISC more directly. But when people do not want to re-experience the ISC, they will mess up any technique to avoid that happening. So as they're going back, you know, they're now they go back to an earlier time and an earlier time, and they start anticipating the discomfort of going through the initial sensitizing event. What the protective part of the mind will bounce them back to a later time. Now, so you have to be very clear that we want to go to, you know, eventually the first time. So let's say we started off with a 40-year-old, we went to 20 years old, we went back farther to a 10-year-old, then 7, then 5. And one of the questions we ask is this feeling familiar or new? Now, if they are at 5 and they say it's familiar, then that means that this event, the emotion predates that event. And so we can use the words, go back to a time before this event, okay? And if they go then to 7 years old, we can then tell them to go, once again, to go into the tunnel and go back to a time before 5 years old when they were blanking, and the blanking part we describe in some way the event that we had visited before. For example, you know, 5 years old sitting on the picnic bench looking at the spider, you know, in case of arachnophobia or a simple fear of spiders. Say, okay, 7 in a moment count, 5 back to 1. If we're doing affect bridge or we're going to time tunnel, once again, go into that feeling inside your chest, follow it back to the first time you felt that way. Sometime before when you were 5 looking at the spider on the picnic table. Now do that, follow that tunnel back, come out to the other side, and now quickly daytime, nighttime, indoors, outdoors, and so on. So it is resistance is the protective part of the mind trying to defend against an unpleasant experience. I used to say resistance is fear. And that could still be said, but really it's more general that resistance is the protective part of the mind trying to avoid something that could be painful in any way. And the ISE could be painful. It could be painful because it was a scary experience. It could be painful because it's embarrassing and they don't want to reveal it to anyone. And so these would be reasons that they would not go back time tunneling or affect bridge or by any other means, date, time, regression, to the ISE. She also asks, Meredith, I just keep writing notes about what you're going to say. I'm going to keep talking about this so I don't break my train of thought. Is she deep enough? So when you have a client who's resistant to the regression or non-compliant, one or the other, so you're going back earlier and earlier, and let's say they don't go. If they just don't go, then that's non-compliance. If they go, but they are not revivifying, not reliving the event, they're just kind of narrating the event from the perspective of the adult, then there's two things are going on. Maybe they're not deep enough, because you must have somnambulism in order for a revivification, a reliving of the event to occur. Or sometimes it's as simple as they just didn't understand the direction that they are supposed to relive it. And that can be really easily fixed by just saying, gotta count from 1 to 3 when I get, 3 back to 1, when I get to 1, it'll be as if it was happening all over again. You'll be X years old, 7 years old, 5 years old, whatever it was, from the perspective of that 5 or 7 year old child. Here we go. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, be there. And there, in the question, there's also conscious mind interference. There's this idea that when we do hypnosis, we've got bypass of the conscious mind. And that's just simply not true. We are always conscious. We are always aware. What we can have is adult aspect of the client interference. So, and that again comes from the either they didn't understand the instruction to go back and relive it, or it could just be that they don't want to do it, and so they want to see it from the adult's perspective, which is simply hypermnesia, just remembering. And so, one, I want to make sure they're deep enough. Two, I want to make sure they understand the instruction. If they understand the instruction, then we will then just be more emphatic, more directive about what needs to be done. And we can do that by giving them the talk, telling them that we can't help them unless they follow our instructions. I'm pretty sure I have also a podcast where I talk about the talk. And maybe Meredith wants to talk about the talk. So I hand it back to you. What do you want to say about this, Meredith?
Okay, wonderful. So first of all, the time tunneling technique, we did 3 podcasts on it. Number 211 through 213. So, and I'm sure we'll post links just right down there so you can reference those. But that would be a place you'd want to go to get the background and the history on you know, how to do that. But in my experience, and maybe Cal, you experience differently, just because I'm using time tunneling doesn't mean that people don't jump around. So the same with age regression in the more traditional way, using an affect bridge, sometimes the subconscious mind just happens to be not linear and will come up with other things that it hadn't shared before. So almost like a trigger gets hit in one spot, and then it's like, oh yeah, there were other times, older. And so, and I find some clients are more linear than others in their age regression. So I kind of have an allowance for this, you know, that maybe, I don't know if it's right or wrong, but I just know I have an allowance for this and I don't make it a problem. I just take the information and, you know, bring them back to the earlier time. Each time just figuring, well, maybe there's something there that we need to work on. Anything you want to say about that, Cal?
Well, you know, that's so true. And this just exactly what Meredith said. You'll be going back to maybe a time at 5, and for some reason that visit to 5 causes something that happened when they were 7 to kind of bubble up. And now, even though you're saying go back to an earlier time, from the perspective of the client, it just seems like they just can't help themselves. This is an important event, and they go to it. And if that happens, no big deal. But if subsequent events that are later on in life just keep coming up, then it's a problem. Perfect, Meredith.
Yeah, and you know, if something you're doing isn't working, try something else too. So I don't automatically assume that something's not working because a client is jumping around. But if for some reason they seem to not get time tunneling technique, if I've done regression with them before, or even if I haven't and I'm not quite getting what I would like to get from them, I may go ahead and do an affect bridge and count 3 back to 1 or 5 back to 1, and mix it up a little bit to see if they respond better to the direction of focus on that feeling. And now as I count from 3 back to 1, when I get to 1, you'll be at an earlier time you felt that way. They may respond better to that than the tunnel. And so I'm okay with sometimes differentiating what I use when I'm jumping around. And I find some clients respond beautifully to time tunneling technique. And Cal, you probably don't experience this because Cal tends to be really consistent and he expects consistency and he probably gets more consistency. But I have more allowance for variance, and so I'm willing to use the different tools that I have when I need to have them, when I need to use them, and I end up getting where I need to go. Any thoughts on that, Cal?
Well, actually, I'm total agreement with you, and you, if something isn't working, you're going to feel that frustration start to come up inside of you. And this is one of the cool things. I mean, now we have the time tunneling technique. It's my preferred thing. But if you know what, if for some reason my client just isn't getting that, or they just, it's like confusing to them, then bam, just switch back into the old affect bridge technique. And there you go. I mean, the affect bridge technique was what I used for years and years and years, helped many, many clients with it, taught many, many hypnotists how to use it, and they've helped untold more clients using it. So yeah, I think that the time tunneling technique for the vast majority of clients is a little bit better for the reasons I mentioned, but gosh, if they're not getting it, bam, I'll kind of have plan B, which is affect bridge. Good. How are we doing on time?
Well, Well, we're just about out of time, but I just want to make one last comment. So you talked about how the protective part of the mind is the part that may be kind of redirecting them from the ISE. And I just want to make the point that that doesn't always mean that the client is consciously blocking. It's not conscious all the time. Now, a client could be consciously blocking, but a lot of the time it's a natural defense mechanism, a reaction that the client's choosing to get better, and the client, you know, if actively choosing, would choose to go there, but there's this aspect of them that's blocking them. So I just want to make that point that it's not always like the client is blocking it. It is a part of the client, and the talk could certainly help them to overcome all of that. You know, where you basically tell them, I don't know what you've tried, you know, I don't know what you'll try if this doesn't work, but if you're going to get the results from this, you need to follow my instructions, and are you willing to do that? Now choose, you know, if you call them on it, then that may help them to override that, but it's not entirely a conscious resistance all the time. So I just wanted to make that point. I'm going to let you say any further words after I sign off, Cal, if you have anything else to say about that. But this is Meredith Locker. Thank you so much for tuning in. My email is meredith@yourpathhypnosis.com. Feel free to send me your comments and questions. Take care. Bye-bye.
Thank you very much, Meredith. And everything she said is exactly right. Gosh, are we lucky to have her along on this show. You know, it's amazing that we have such great volunteers. They're volunteers. I mean, they get nothing for doing this. It's just for the love of the profession, for helping you guys get out. I mean, they have no rights to these recordings afterwards. And then we put them up and we just send it out. And one of the coolest things, I know that a year from now, 5 years from now, 10 years from now, these will still be out there on the internet. I could be in hypnosis heaven with the other grandpas of hypnosis, and people will continue because of the work that we've all done together. All right, this is Cal Vanian. Oh, one quick thing, I've never mentioned this before. At the top of this page, up there, we tend to have, we call it weekly specials, but they're not necessarily weekly specials. Take advantage of those specials. We have discounts on different CDs, DVDs, books, and things like that, or classes. Take advantage of those. The weekly specials are very special. You can only get these specials on calvanian.com. All right, that's it. Time's up. Cal Vanian, signing out.
This recording is the property of Cal Vanian and the Vanian Hypnosis Center for Training and Services, Incorporated. All rights reserved, for private use only, may not be duplicated without permission. For contact information, go to www.hypnosiscenter.com.